of some of our best memories. To Monday!
Yay!
Oh, that was a good Monday.
Hi there, and welcome to Baseball by Design. I am SportsLogos.net minor league baseball correspondent Paul Caputo, broadcasting live, as always, from the Sunday Helmet Hall of Fame in my basement in Fort Collins, Colorado. Today, we are going to be talking about the independent Lake Erie Crushers, who play in Avon, Ohio. I'll be speaking later on in this episode with designer Meg Kramig, who created their logo. I'll be speaking with Jason Jennings, a fellow Sunday Helmet collector who lives in the area and is a fan of the team. And of course, Dan Simon will be back with one of his Studio Simon Stumpers. Right now, I am so pleased to be joined by Jacqueline Kramig, who is the co-owner, along with her husband, Tom, of the Lake Erie Crushers. Jacqueline, good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you?
I am so excited to be talking about this fun brand, the Lake Erie Crushers, who have an angry grape wielding a baseball bat for their logo. The Crushers are located in Avon, Ohio, not far from Cleveland. I know that you were intimately involved in the branding of this team. I'm curious to know why a baseball team in Avon, Ohio, would have an angry grape as a logo and be called the Lake Erie Crushers.
Well, we acquired the team officially in 2016. They were already called the Lake Erie Crushers. And their original logo was a swing man with a bat, and their colors were red, gray, black, and white. And my husband and I were not sold on the logo or even the name Lake Erie Crushers, but we decided to run with it for our first year. And what we discovered the first year was that the city and our patrons were extremely loyal to the name Lake Erie Crushers. We could not change the name. So we decided we wanted to change the logo because we didn't like the look and it really had no correlation with Lake Erie Crushers. So our family, because Tom and I own it together and our children were with us, decided we would just sit around and start brainstorming how we were going to create a new logo for the team. And we pretty much concluded this decision around the kitchen table. The first thing we had to decide was what colors we wanted the team to be. And Ohio is very red, gray, black, and white because of Ohio State, Miami, University of Cincinnati. And we didn't want to get mixed in with that whole color scheme. And then we started thinking about grapes, because the Crushers name originally was designed to refer to the grapes that they grew along the Lake Erie shore in Lorain County, Ohio. However, the first owner of the team never went with that idea for his logo. So we thought, let's get back to the beginning and what the meaning of the name was.
Yeah.
So we thought, okay, let's think about the colors of grapes. And our daughter's favorite color is purple. And so we started there. And at first we were like, no purple. And my husband was like, no, we can't do purple. And I thought, there aren't a whole lot of purple teams out there in minor league baseball. And why not? That was how we came up with purple. So then we started looking at the history of the Lake Erie shoreline in Lorain and Cuyahoga County and discovered that it was once a very large producer of grapes. Pre-prohibition, they grew a lot of purple grapes. And to this day, there are a few wineries left in Lorain County, not as many as there used to be, but they're still there. And we thought, okay, so if we want to stick with the theme of crushers and crushing grapes, why not go with a grape?
So you have this adorable grape character. He's grimacing, he's holding a baseball bat, but he's, you know, he's round and he's purple. He's got the pinstriped baseball cap on, which I absolutely love. Like this sort of black and white. It looks like a old timey, you know, baseball cap that you would have seen in like the 1920s or 1930s. Right. So he's got this, you know, this great sort of old timey baseball cap on. It's a little bit crooked. He's holding this bat, and then the end of the bat is a bunch of grapes, literally a bunch of grapes, with some of the grapes are falling off, and he's got his hand on his hip like he's mad. So it's all very cute, right? Like this logo is very cute, and grapes are notoriously thin-skinned, kind of vulnerable, right? So as a sports mascot, creating this fierce-looking mascot, even if he's cute, from a, you know, this vulnerable thin-skinned fruit, what were the challenges there, in especially given that, you know, the previous logo that you were describing, yeah, pretty generic, what were the decisions that you all had to make in terms of this grape's personality and, you know, how, where to fall on the sort of cute versus ferocious line?
Fortunately for us, the graphic artist that designed this grape for us was our nephew's wife.
What's her name?
Her name is Meg Kramig. Okay. And Meg lives out in Los Angeles. And because she's a member of the family, she's very aware of our personality, our family's personality. She's a part of our family's personality. So when we told her our idea, she first just went to town. And we didn't really give her any guidelines. We just were like, the Lake Erie Crushers, we want a grape. What can you do with that? And Meg knows us well enough to know that we do have a sense of humor and we don't take ourselves too seriously. Yet it needed to be ferocious enough because we want to win. We're a winning baseball team. And with the rollout of the new logo, we were going to roll out new uniforms as well. So the hat represents our pinstripe uniforms that we have that are purple and white. And she just started to draw. It really didn't take very many revisions to get to what we have here. And I have to attribute that to the fact that Meg knows Tommy and I very well. This evolved very, very quickly. And we also have, we thought, well, we can't have an angry grape for our kids' club.
Right.
So we do also have a happy grape who has two very circular eyes and a big smile on his face.
Right.
Between the end of the 2016 baseball season, which would have been September of 2016, and March of 2017 was the amount of time we had to come up with everything and get our marketing material in order and get the logo on all of our merchandise and the uniforms and everything. So it was a very short amount of time, which is why it happened so rapidly. And then we had to plan our rollout into the community with our angry grape, our new colors, and the same old name. So we were very apprehensive about how it was going to go over.
You're anticipating my next question. I was going to ask how it was received, because what is fun about this story for me is so often with the high end firms, and I love the work that the high end firms do, but there are, you know, there are so often, you know, these teams are doing focus groups and they're in the community and they're working with, you know, all the stakeholders. And obviously, you know, some of these logos are big business, and that's as it should be, because it's a serious industry. But this story about, you know, your nephew's wife creating this logo and doing something fun because she knows you all and your personality, and doing something that is very much outside the sort of the normal steps that you might take in creating a brand like this. I'm very curious to know now, what was the reception when you put it out there in the community?
In retrospect, I would say 90% of the responses were positive. They were not like overly excited about it, but they weren't negative. Mm-hmm. We did have those few naysayers that were very loud, mostly on social media, that really gave us a hard time about why would you have a stupid grape You know, he looked so ridiculous. Why did you change the logo and the colors, and what are you doing? And we don't know anything. And I think someone made some comment about me. I'm a sober alcoholic. And someone made a comment about me going back to drinking.
Oh, no.
Over, you know, the logo. And always so we chose to not respond to the negative.
Yeah.
And just go with the positive. Sure. And once the season started and the fans started to come into the stadium and see the grape and the merchandise in the, in our store, it was slow, but it started to catch on. Mm-hmm. Now here we are, I believe, six, almost 7 years later. And it's remarkable to me when I go to a game and look out at the crowd, how many people have Lake Erie Crushers clothing on with the grape on it. It's sort of, it's really very exciting to look out there and see all these people that are carrying the brand around on their person. And, you know, we've managed to bring back the old logo for our 10th anniversary this year. And people got excited about that, but they really haven't spoken much of the old logo in the last many years because they've become very fond of our grape.
Absolutely. Well, how could you not? And, you know, you're describing an arc that a lot of teams go through in terms of unveiling a brand, especially on social media, having naysayers that are very noisy. And, you know, sometimes you see these teams, they have to deal with people who start petitions to bring the old name back. And so, you know, I'm not surprised to hear that you weathered that. I am very sorry to hear that story about that one particular a-hole. But, you know, I'm glad that you stuck with it because it really is a fun brand. And I actually have one of your ice cream helmets on the shelf behind me. And I really enjoy this logo. So I'm glad to hear that it is fully embraced as it should be. Now, the thing that was curious to me when I saw this was I was not aware that Northern Ohio had this wine association, that there were wineries in Northern Ohio, and that was a big part of that part of the country. So like I say, I'm always learning things about this country of ours through learning about our minor league baseball nicknames. But is that something that is common knowledge that you feel? Is that a big part of the culture in Northern Ohio, the wineries?
It is. And it goes from Northern Ohio over into Pennsylvania and up around Lake Erie into New York. And by 1887, Lorain County, which is where Avon is, was the second highest agricultural product was grapes, which was a big surprise to us when we went and looked at what we were doing. And so we thought, you know, bringing the grape in and having that as the logo made everything sort of go full circle. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we crush a baseball to get a home run, it just really fit. And there are left in Lorain County two wineries that are pretty well known. One is John Christ, and one is the Klingshorn Winery. And they do tours and, you know, still produce their own brands of wine to this day. And they do participate in our, like, we have a beer festival and they come and participate at the beer festival. And they've been very supportive of the team. The one corporation that I would have loved to have seen become part of our organization to some degree is Smucker's, because mm-hmm. they are also up in the Northeast and they, of course, make grape jelly.
Right.
So yes, the wineries are still there and still functioning. And if you drive down some of the main roads in Avon, Ohio, you will see the vineyards still out amongst the houses and the businesses that are around. So that's sort of nostalgic in its own right. So, and then with the grape, we can do a lot of fun games at the game. Yeah. We have a grape race that's a red grape, a green grape, and a white grape, I believe.
Mm. No purple grape.
Or no, red, purple, I'm sorry, red, purple, and green grapes. Okay. And they race around the bases to see which grape, you know, wins. So we can play on that fact that there are different types of grapes. And it's become a very well-loved logo in our community. And I have to say, the fan base that we have is very loyal and very committed to the Lake Erie Crushers. And we are so grateful for that, because they did embrace it, and they embraced Tommy and I when we came on board, and have really helped to make it their own.
Well, it's a terrific brand, and it's a lot of fun to talk about. And I really appreciate you coming on. I understand that you don't do many of these interviews, so I appreciate you making time for Baseball by Design to come on and talk about the Lake Erie Crushers. Jacqueline, where can people find the team online and on social media?
You can find us at LakeErieCrushers.com. And social media, we are on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter as Lake Erie Crushers.
Fantastic. And I'm on your team store right now. You've got a lot of fun hats and a lot of fun shirts that I say this podcast is going to end up costing me more money than it will ever make me, because every time I feature a team, I want to go on their store and buy a bunch of stuff. So, so Jacqueline, thank you again.
You are very welcome. It was my pleasure. Bye-bye. Bye.
All right, everyone. Welcome back. I am so pleased to be joined right now by the creator of the Lake Erie Crushers logo, Meg Kramig of Kramig Creative. Meg, hello. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. This is really fun for me because, you know, I get to talk to designers in firms that specialize in sports branding. And, you know, it's always a great conversation. I really like getting to talk to the really big firms. And you're a graphic designer. You know how this goes. When you hear someone say, oh, my cousin's friend's best man designed this logo for me, you're like, oh, you know, as professional designers, you know, because that's my background too, is graphic design. You hear that and you're just like, oh no, what's this going to be? So yeah. In the previous segment, I was speaking with Jacqueline and she said, my nephew's wife designed the logo. I already knew it was a great logo because I was looking at it, right? So I was like, okay, well, so this is fun. It's a family affair. You created the logo for your, you know, your aunt-in-law's baseball team here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's awesome. I love it. So I appreciate you coming in and talking about it. But I had to, you know, talk to you just because I'd love to hear the process that you went through. Sure. In creating this fierce little delicate grape character who is the centerpiece of the Lake Erie Crushers logo. I'll start with that. What was your role in creating this character?
Well, Tom came to me with the idea. He'd seen some of my work before, so he knew that I was capable. But he had this idea where he wanted to kind of incorporate more of like the community and the Crushers logo as it stood. He liked it. I think everybody liked it. It was fine, but it didn't really like... The Crushers name had something to do with the vineyard and the wine history that they had in that part of the country.
Yeah.
The logo that they had previously gave like no indication of that. It just looked like, I think they just went with crushing a ball and they were just like, and
it was boring.
Yeah.
It was boring. You can say it. It was boring.
I don't like putting down other designs. I mean, the design was fine. It was just, you know, it was just generic. And I think he didn't want it to be generic. He wanted to bring that idea of community, because these baseball teams, that's what they're all about. I mean, they're all about community and the cities that they're in. And he wanted to like be in the spirit of that. So he wanted to say, hey, well, they're the Crushers because of this rich like vineyard history. Let's try to bring that in to the logo itself. So that was kind of the idea. And I just kind of ran with it at that point. I actually, so I started my creative career. I started out as a copywriter and then I was a creative director, but I had minored in graphic design. It wasn't my major. And I kind of decided to go off on my own because I wanted to like go more into that, but I hadn't done much illustration work. So we hired, but I had a lot of contacts because I've been in the ad industry for a long time. So I hired a couple illustrators to work on the grape, you know, on the actual mascot.
Yeah.
And we had like all sorts of concepts and different things that came out of that. And I just like, it just wasn't what I had in mind. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I think I just got frustrated and I was just like, I'm just gonna draw something. I'm just gonna, you know, do it. And I'll just show like, and then I can at least show the illustrators at least where I'm going with it, or I can show Tom and see what he thinks. And I just mocked something up in Illustrator and showed it to him, and he loved it so much that he's just like, this is what we're doing.
And so I was much like, for focus groups.
Yeah. Okay.
So this character, I mean, it just goes to show you, and you know, with your design background, like you, I mean, you always hear these stories about like the Nike logo was created in, you know, just in a blink, right? Like, and it didn't go through all the focus groups and all that. So there's certainly something to be said for, you know, if you have a vision, pursuing it. I will tell you, my background's in graphic design. I am not an illustrator, right? Like I do not have that skill. And so, you know, I think to me, graphic design and illustration are two very different skill sets. And so to have both of those is, you know, I'm jealous of that.
Illustration really is like, I don't think a lot of people understand that, you know, that they're just like, oh, well, you know, you're a graphic designer, so just draw the Mona Lisa. Like,
right. right. I had a boss who used to say I was a graphic artist, and I said, no, I'm a graphic designer. And I think he thought I was just, you know, being a prima donna about it. And I was just like, no, it's just that they're two different things.
They are. Yeah.
This character, I want to talk about this character because I love his little teeth. I love his little grimacing teeth, and that, you know, the expression on his face, I think kind of makes him. He, in my opinion, you know, he looks like a kid trying to be mean, not an actual mean grape. And I think that's because, like I said, you know, grapes are, they're delicate, you know, they've got this very thin skin, and you know, you wouldn't have to come at that grape too hard to mess him up, I think. But you know, the look on his face says you don't want to mess with him. I want to start with that, like that expression. How long did it take you to get that expression just where you wanted it?
So that was actually like the first thing, that was the part that stuck. Like that was the first, that came out of the first part of the first design, the first rendering. And I think I had this an idea in my head. You're right. I didn't want to make it too intimidating because, again, in my mind, like this is a family, like families go to these baseball games. I grew up with like the Fort Wayne, when they were the Fort Wayne Wizards, we used to go all the time. Like it's all about like the kids and the families and stuff. So you needed something that was inviting. So that was just me doodling around. That's how I came up with that. The rest of him actually changed fairly significantly because, so the Crusher's colors were originally red. Mm. So we originally like, we're like, well, we'll stay true to that because, you know, everything's already red. And you know, when you change the colors for a baseball team, you're changing everything. I don't think everybody realizes that you have to change everything.
There's a lot. Yeah.
But you know, we had like, what kind of looked like jelly coming off the bat, but like then it looked like blood, and so that wasn't great. And then you know, the red grape really wasn't selling. It looks more like a cherry in that situation. And we ultimately decided we have to do purple. And then I think originally he had like a batter's helmet on that was made out of a grape leaf. But that didn't really, like, I think Tom was just like, nah, you know, let's just go baseball hat. I think that like that more fits what we're kind of going for. So,
well, this particular baseball hat is really fun too, because it's not just your standard baseball cap. It's sort of, it's pinstriped. It's on a little bit of an angle. It's, you know, sort of cocked a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it to me, it evokes sort of like the old timey hats that they wore like in Eight Men Out, right? Like from like the 1920s with the sort of shallower brim and the pinstripes. Was that intentional, that style of cap that's a little bit sort of old timey feeling?
You're absolutely right on the nose there. That's kind of what like the inspiration that I used for that, because that's, I don't know, I just feel like that's a certain era, that's a certain look, and it's just fun.
Right. Oh, it totally is. And his got his, you know, his hand on the one hand grasping the bat, and then the other hand, like on his, I guess what would be his hip, you know, if he had a body, is kind of adorable. So I love that. And then the, you know, you've got the bunch of grapes with a vine, I assume, around, you know, sort of wrapped around the baseball bat that's over his shoulders. And so some of the grapes are sort of falling off. It's got some of like the little tendrils. This is obviously an audio podcast. I'm gesturing wildly as I talk about this here, but he's got the little like tendrils from the vine. So he looks disheveled, right? Like it's not a tidy look that he has about him. Like the tendrils from the vine look like sort of wild hairs, and a couple of the grapes from the bunch are falling off. And so, you know, he is untidy at best. And of course the grimacing mouth is, you know, off center, or, you know, the grimace, because it's a grimace, it's off to one side a little bit. So obviously the intention here was to create a little bit of chaos with this guy.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. Yeah. You gotta have fun. I mean, like, yeah, that's the whole idea, I think.
Have you done in your, you know, you're a freelance designer. Have you done other sports branding work, or is this sort of outside your normal oeuvre?
This would normally be a little outside of what I do. I mean, to be honest, a lot of the bread and the butter that I work with are primarily like, I work with a lot of credit unions and insurance companies and small businesses. But yeah, baseball teams are something I get to do very often. So I was so excited. I mean,
what's more fun, designing a minor league baseball team logo or designing for a credit union?
Yeah. I don't even think I have to answer that for you to know.
So obviously with this kind of work, right, like it's a little bit different, and you get to see baseball players wearing this creation and fans at baseball games wearing this thing that you created. Do you get to go to Crushers games?
So I've never actually been to a Crushers game, which is really embarrassing. I know, it's crazy, but I live all the way in California and we just don't make it over there very often. So,
well, I think it's time to go to a Crushers game, because I imagine it would be a ton of fun to see a whole team of baseball players and a whole ballpark full of baseball fans, you know, wearing this adorable creation of yours. So anyway, I hope that you do get to a Crushers game soon. And like I told you before we started the segment here, that your aunt-in-law sent a t-shirt that is a prized possession now in the collection. I really love having this logo on a t-shirt now. So anyhow, Meg, where can people find the work that you do? Are you on social media, or do you have a website?
I do have a website. It's just kramigcreative.com. So it's K-R-A-M-I-G creative.com.
That will be in the show notes. Meg, thank you so much. This was fun to talk about this logo with you.
It was fun to talk to you too. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. All right, everyone. Welcome back. I am so pleased to finally have on the podcast Jason Jennings, who is a Helmet Sunday collector. Dare I say, I think, Jason, you might be the first person I've had on the podcast who has more helmets than I do. It's a passion that we share. Jason is also a resident of the Cleveland area and a frequenter of the Lake Erie Crushers. And it was actually Jason who, when I put the call out for, hey, what teams should I feature on the podcast? Jason responded with, you should feature my Lake Erie Crushers. Jason, how are you doing?
Good, good. Thanks for having me.
Oh, man, this is fun. I'm psyched to have you on the podcast. We actually have shared a baseball game, or at least part of a baseball game. We have been on the other side of Cleveland. We went to a Lake County Captains baseball game a couple of years back. I was there for a work trip, and we got to take in a couple innings of a baseball game together. So that was fun. And then you very graciously gave me and my coworker Song a ride back to the hotel afterwards. So we've gotten to meet in person, which is fun. I got to ask you, I know people have asked you this question before. How did you get into collecting the ice cream helmets?
Well, I actually grew up in southeastern Ohio, so I grew up in a rural area, and where I grew up, there weren't a lot of like restaurants. What we had when I was a kid, you had these small dairy bars where you would stop after a baseball game and get ice cream, and then sometimes they'd have hot dogs or hamburgers or something like that, because we were kind of in, you know, back then it was a little bit more isolated. So when I was probably about 8 or 9, we stopped after a baseball game to get ice cream, and I saw a kid walk around with a helmet with ice cream in it, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. And when I was a kid, I had curtains and bedspread with all the baseball logos, so, you know, anything logos like that I thought was cool. But this dairy bar, this ice cream shop, had ice cream helmets. So we'd go there to this small town. It wasn't far from where I lived, but we'd go there a couple times a summer to play games. And I would insist we go get ice cream afterwards so I could get a different helmet. So I have about 8 to 10 of those helmets that I actually have in a separate pile. I kind of keep that as my separate vintage collection of my originals. And that's kind of what got started.
Those helmets are the origin story there. I like that. I love that I get to turn around the questions I always get and turn them on someone else now. Do you have a number? Do you know what the collection count is?
I do not, because there's some of us that are, we might have a problem, but if the shade of color is different, if the logo is a little bit bigger, if the hat on the character on the logo is different, or if it's a sticker versus on helmet, some of us consider those all different. So, for example, I have probably 10 different Cincinnati Reds helmets that anybody else would think are the same, but if you put them under light and different things, they're different.
I feel seen. I feel seen, Jason, right now. It's I know.
I do need to count and organize at some point.
One more question, and then we'll talk about the crushers here. I know you say you selected out those other ones that have a sort of a special place in your heart because of the origin story. Are there any that you just really love that are like the prized ones that you would notice right away if they were gone?
Well, personally, if you take a helmet that's not navy blue, royal blue, black, or red, those are my favorites. So if I get a purple, a yellow, different shades of green, pink ones, those are the ones that I like. And some of my favorites are teams that I've wanted them to get helmets for years, and then they finally get one. The Crushers included. I had no idea they had helmets. I'm sitting in a game. I see someone walk by with one, and I almost fell out of my seat. Yeah. And the other Ohio teams, the Lake County Captains and the Akron River Ducks have recently added them. So those ones are favorites just because those are the ballparks they go to, and I've been unsolicited advice to their food people to add these, and I go out of my way to be a pain about it. So I'm really happy when they add them.
I'm a little embarrassed at the reaction that I had the first time I saw someone at Coors Field walking around with a purple Rockies helmet, because for 15 years all they had was the black one, and then to see the purple one, I kind of freaked out about it. So, all right, you mentioned the Lake Erie Crushers. Obviously, that's the subject of this episode. Like I said, I sometimes will just put the call out on Twitter. I'll just say, hey, what teams would you like to see featured on the podcast? And you put Lake Erie Crushers. Obviously, it's a local team, but it's also a fun brand. It's a fun logo. What was it that made you suggest them rather than the Rubber Ducks, who actually I've already featured, and the Lake County Captains?
Well, overall, I kind of feel like Ohio is an underrated state for baseball and minor league baseball. And I'm fortunate where I live that within an hour I could be to, four different professional baseball teams. So I kind of recommended the Crushers as a place to visit because people may not necessarily think of them if they're coming to visit Cleveland. But they're in a good spot. They're about 25 minutes to a half hour west of Cleveland. You've got the Lake County Captains about 20 minutes east of Cleveland. You've got Akron about 45 minutes south of Cleveland. So if you're coming to Cleveland, consider going to the Crushers game as well. Because they're located west of Cleveland, a lot of people go to Cedar Point, which is in Sandusky, Ohio, along the lake. And Avon, where the Crushers are, is about a half hour from there. So actually, people, like friends of mine that have come to go to Cedar Point specifically, have stayed in Avon at a hotel because it's convenient to get there. So that would be something else to add to maybe even a non-baseball trip.
Well, speaking of non-baseball, this podcast is about what these logos and nicknames mean to their local community. This Crushers brand is obviously based in the wineries. It's a grape and it celebrates the wine industry in Cleveland. There is that something that you find is a part of everyday life there for in the Cleveland area?
Well, there are vineyards in the Avon area that you could, there's still vineyards around there you can see. There's a winery in Avon Lake that is just north of Avon. But you, as you drive, probably within a couple miles of the ballpark, there are actually grapes growing. So you do still see some. Now, Avon is really a growing area, so you're starting to see some of that being developed, but there are still grapes.
One of my favorite things about collecting the ice cream helmets is that, you know, you put them on a shelf, as John Hodgman says, I quote it frequently on this podcast, the difference between a hoarder and a collector is a display case. And so I've got the shelf downstairs in the basement, and I get to show them off. And sometimes when people come downstairs and they check out the shelf, they're, first of all, they think, oh, well, that's an insane thing to have in your house. But then they start looking at them and they check out the logos. And obviously the minor league ones are so much more fun. So as an appreciator of these helmets, you become sort of an appreciator of the logos and the color schemes. This particular logo and this particular color scheme, you don't see a lot of purple teams out there, but this logo is a fun one. What's your take on the Crushers logo?
Well, I love it. If they were really in need of a brand refresh, their first uniforms were black and red. Their logo was just letter LE, and then they had another logo with a baseball player swinging a bat, kind of made a crescent shape like a C for Crushers. So it was a little lackluster, to mm-hmm. say the least. So when they came out with the grape logo and switched to the purple, I thought that was a wonderful change. And then as far as the helmet, the purple looks great. The logo's on the helmet. The first time I went there and saw this helmet and posted it online, I had about 10 messages within a couple innings saying, grab me one, I will trade.
Yeah. There's definitely this community out there of collectors who are, rather than being competitive, I think we're just a bunch of enablers, right? Because every time one of us goes to a game where there's new helmets, we're picking up 10 at a time to send to our fellow collectors.
Oh, yeah. That's when you get the odd look. When you go to the concession stand and you say, I want one ice cream, and then I want seven more that don't have ice cream in them. And then they're kind of like, what are you talking about? And a couple times I've actually shown pictures on my phone, and they're like, oh, my God, this is a thing. But they're all really nice about it, and I think the teams really appreciate that you're spreading their logo and about their team across the country to other people that may not see it otherwise.
Yeah, I think that they do, and I think the teams that don't have them are, you know, sort of feeling the pressure. I've heard that the Rocky Mountain Vibes are going to finally get them this year, although I've heard that a couple of times, so I'll believe it when I see it.
Well, I'll be ready to trade.
All right, one last thing before I get you out of here. I know that you, you know, being a fan of baseball in that area, that the Lake Erie Crushers, that ballpark hosts not only the Crushers, but there's other baseball action that takes place there that is something that that is near and dear to your heart. What other baseball are you seeing there?
Well, they host the Avon High School varsity team there. And for 5 years, I was blessed. I was an assistant high school baseball coach at another school, and we got to play there. So it was cool to play there. Then in addition to high school, they host Notre Dame College, not the Fighting Irish, but Notre Dame College, which is a Division II school from Cleveland. They host their games. Off and on, they've hosted a community college. And then they also have the MAC tournament, which is a Mid-American Conference, which my alma mater, Kent State, is in that conference. So every year they've had that tournament. I've gone to that. When they first started the MAC tournament, they actually had a 12-team tournament, and the first day on Friday, they had four games starting at 10 a.m., and unfortunately, because of commitments, I didn't make four games, but I did make three games one year in one day at the ballpark. So wow. It's a great place to go see baseball, and the Frontier League is great. If you live in the Midwest, I definitely recommend going to Frontier games because they're a lot of fun.
Awesome. Jason, this has been so much fun to finally have you on the podcast and talk a little ice cream helmets, talk a little Crushers baseball. If people want to contact you so that they can send you an ice cream helmet, where do they find you?
Well, I'm only on the Twitter, and I still call it Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just my initials, JJ, and then it's at JJ989-2454, which is my childhood phone number if you want to reach me back in the 70s and 80s.
I always wondered what that bunch of numbers was there. So that'll obviously be in the show notes if you want to contact Jason or me about trading helmets. Jason and I have, if I recall, we once sent like the same box back and forth across the country like 5-6 times in a row. We just
We did. That was awesome. I think finally it kind of gave out on us, but that was great being able to save the box to go back and forth. And I'd encourage, if anybody comes to Northeastern Ohio to go to a game, reach out. I love meeting people at the ballpark anytime.
Fantastic. Jason, thanks so much, and we'll catch you the next time we're in Ohio at a ball game.
Okay, thank you, Paul.
Part of one, welcome back. It is time for Studio Simon Stumpers, the segment on this podcast where Dan Simon of Studio Simon brings a trivia question and is not necessarily trying to stump me, but very often does anyway. Dan, good morning. How are you?
I am fantastic, Paul. Thank you very much for asking. And right back at you, how are you?
I am also doing fantastic. Very pleased to see that you have arrived for this morning's Studio Simon Stumper wearing a logo that you created, which you don't always do. You're not always wearing your own creations. But this is the logo that you created for Anna DiTomaso's Baseball Bucket List podcast, the character that you created, Kirby Bucket. It's a great logo for a great podcast. If you're not already listening to the Baseball Bucket List, go do it. And if you haven't seen this logo or gotten some of Anna's great merch with this great logo on it, you should go check it out. Kirby Bucket. You have created logos for two podcasts on Kerber Media, including this very one that we're on now and Anna's Baseball Bucket List. Anyhow, we're here to talk about the Lake Erie Crushers up there in the greater Cleveland area. So let's jump into it, Dan. What do we have? What's our trivia about the Lake Erie Crushers going to be?
Well, their mascot is a big gray bear, because when you think of a wine-themed team, the first thing that comes to mind is a big gray bear. And this is a big gray bear who once had his head stolen.
Oh.
So that was quite traumatic for him, because it's hard to go about one's business without a head.
Yeah.
But the head was returned and all was well again in the Lake Erie area.
That's true. I doubt that all was well in the Lake Erie area, but I'm glad that the bear got his head back.
Why do you doubt that all was well in the lake?
It's a big area, right? It's the greater Cleveland area. I mean, there's a lot going on in Cleveland, and just because the bear got his head back doesn't mean that all was well.
Well, all was well for the bear.
There you go.
Okay. So let's jump right into the question. No big lead in here. So our Studio Simon Stumper today asks, what is the name of this big gray bear who once had his head stolen but got it back? Is it A, Corky, B, Stomper, or C, Pete Rose?
All right. Pete Rose is definitely the funniest of those. I like that very much. Stomper makes sense because they're the Crushers, and you know, their whole brand is based on the notion of you make wine by crushing grapes with your feet. So Stomper makes sense. Corky to me is very funny and very clever. I really want it to be Corky. When you went through that list, I thought Corky is the one that it should be. Pete Rose is funny, but funny like I'm hoping it's from the mind of Dan Simon rather than from the folks who came up with that team. Stomper, I'm hoping is not the answer, because I don't know, that feels just, you know, less fun, less clever than the others. So answering this question mostly with my heart rather than my head, I am going to go with Corky.
Okay. You would be correct if you were not incorrect. Unfortunately, the Lake Erie Crushers did not come to me to develop their mascot and or name it. So they named it Stomper.
Stomper is the answer.
Yes. And which makes today's question a Studio Simon Stomper. Now, check this out. Interestingly, the Lake Erie's mascot, Lake Erie Crushers mascot, is named Stomper. There was an independent minor league team named the Sonoma County Stompers, and their mascot name was Crusher. So Crusher's mascot is Stomper. Stomper's mascot was Crusher.
And this is a weird synergy here.
There is currently a collegiate summer league team in Sonoma that goes by the name the Sonoma Stompers. And they have a mascot named Rawhide. Go figure.
Which Visalia Rawhide was an answer to a pretty recent stumper when we were talking about cow logos on the Dairy Daddies episode, of course.
Yes.
That, so. What a wild ride you just took us on there. Of it's like 6 degrees of baseball logo and mascot connections there.
You know what? One of the things I've noticed about baseball, and maybe it's really all things, if you give it a little thought, you can come up with some connection to just about everything. And it's kind of what I do with these Studio Simon Stompers, which we're calling it today. You know, there I come up with a trivia question that is somehow related to 1, 2, 3 degrees away from the actual name or theme of the particular identity that is featured in that particular episode. But there's always some tying and in a fun and interesting way.
I went to grad school with someone who told me that the worst thing a designer could be is a good talker. And what he meant by that, I think, was that I seemed to have the ability with my design work to explain a lot of decisions using words, but that wasn't necessarily a good thing because they weren't always the best design decisions. I was just good at explaining them. So it reminds me a little bit of recently I was on a road trip with my daughter looking at colleges, and we were driving through Baltimore, and I was telling her all about Camden Yards. And she said, I thought this was a very sweet moment. She said, "Dad, you know a lot of things." And, you know, we drove along, and I was thinking, oh, that was sweet. What a nice moment with my daughter there. And then I realized a few minutes later that I don't think it was meant as a compliment.
The way you said it, it sounded like a compliment to me.
No, I think I had just been spouting a lot of facts, you know, as we passed Aberdeen, that's where the Ironbirds play. And so, you know, I think Dad, you know, a lot of things was her way of saying, Dad, can you pipe down for 1 minute?
Okay. Well, okay. I don't know what to say.
Dan, thank you so much for bringing another of your great Studio Simon Stumpers. And we will look forward to seeing you again next week with another Studio Simon Stumper. Go follow Dan on Instagram @studio_Simon.
Well, thank you for having me. I can't wait until we do the next one.